Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We worship you, we praise you, we magnify you. Lord, we pray this morning that your words would be said, your deeds would be done, your glory would be made manifest, that lives and hearts would be touched, the kingdom of God would be enhanced. Lord, we never tire praying this prayer. Lord, help us get this job done. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Be magnified this morning in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I can't tell you what an honor and a privilege it is to be with you at the famous South Dayton Family Church, where they have the most amazing donuts in the world. I tell you, I just come, you know, I know they give up an offering, but in the back room I have fruits and nuts for me, and I have some chili back there, and I think a dozen or half dozen of South Dayton donuts, and so I'm good. I don't need an offering. Praise the Lord. So thank you, thank you. What a wonderful place to worship God. What a beautiful spirit here in the presence of the Lord is here. You're here. What a winning combination. And so, again, just so honored and thrilled. Let me ask you this before I get started. Is there anybody here that's never heard me speak before? Raise your hand. Oh, my God, I'm going to have to behave here this morning. Now, I'm going to put this disclosure. Hopefully, if you've heard Pastor Mike, the pastor here, because he is fantastic. He is an amazing preacher. I'm actually quite intimidated to be speaking in this pulpit because he is so, so good, so, so encouraging. And then there's me on the other hand. But if this is your first time here, please, 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 for the sake of the kingdom of God, don't judge this church by anything I say or do. I'm not the pastor. If anything, if you can tolerate me this morning, come next week, and you will be greatly, greatly blessed. I guarantee it, or you can have your money back. And there's no charge on it, so it's a win-win. So I will endeavor to behave here this morning again, but so honored, I'm so honored and thrilled to be here. So let's get in the Word here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And I'm going to be sharing with you something that I believe the Lord has commissioned me in these days that we're living in to share. And actually, it all started really with a visitation I had concerning this message and concerning the need in the body of Christ. We know this, that we don't base our beliefs and our doctrines on visions, visitations of the Lord. We base our doctrine on the Bible, what the Bible has to say. But whenever we have a visitation or the Lord speaks to us and it lines up with the Bible, when we know it's from the Lord. And so let's go ahead and read the text, and I'll share with you what I mean. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and starting with verse 28. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to be reading out of the King James Version. Oh, I see you have it on the screen. And so it reads this: "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." These are the words of Jesus to us. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And so here we have an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ that if we're heavy laden, what does that mean? If we're really under a cloud, if we're really going through it in life, through tests and trials, or we have worries and anxieties, fears and concerns, you know, all those things can easily creep into our lives. And so Jesus here says this: if life is rough, if life is tough, if you're down in the dumps, if you have lost your joy, he gives a remedy. He says, "Come unto me. I am your answer." And now we may think that's very simple, and of course we go, "Lord," but how many times do we go to everyone else? You know, we go to friends, we Now we go to Google or ask Siri, you know, what's going on? And, you know, everybody has something to say about something. But Jesus says, come to me. If life is rough, if you're going through a tough time, if you don't know what to do, come to me. And you know a bit of a thing about coming to Jesus. He said this in another place. Those that come to me, I'll no wise cast out. That we can come to him no matter what we've been or what we've done. Aren't you glad? The Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. You ever meditate on that? That God's good to everyone. And too many times we think that we have to have a certain performance. We have to read our Bibles so much and pray so much and gone to church and been nice to everybody in our lives. And if we got our T's crossed and our I's dotted, then we can come to the Lord and just maybe the Lord will help us. But that's not true. Jesus says, come to me. It's open-ended. It doesn't matter if you're the good or the bad or even the ugly. You know? And maybe sometimes we've done all three of those things. And so, but the beautiful thing, we can come. No matter where we've been, what we've done. You know, we have a beautiful story about the heart of the father and the prodigal, the story of the prodigal son. You know, it talks about a father who had two sons. You know, the older son went to church every Sunday, read his Bible, kept the Ten Commandments, never varied off from the dictates and the commandments of his father. But the younger one, you know, got this idea. He said, Father, give me that inheritance. And so the father divided his inheritance, and that younger son went out into the world. And he did things that father wouldn't do. He did things that the bigger older brother wouldn't do. He drank, he smoked, he ran around. He did everything. And, you know, whenever we do our own thing like that, it may be fun for a season, but eventually we hit rock bottom. And it said this of the younger son, that he came to his senses and says, you know, how good I had it. Things went better when I was in my father's house. I will go to my father. I will repent and say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me a slave and servant in your house. And it said this as he came to his father saw him afar off. And when his father saw him afar off coming down the road, it said the father ran out to meet him. And he hugged him, he embraced him. He said, bring forth the best robe, the fat calf, put a ring on his finger. Notice the father never judged his son concerning where he'd been, what he's done. He was just so thrilled that he came to him. I want you to know that's your father. We've all had times when we're ashamed, and the devil, of course, will remind us, you did this, you did that, you know better, you have no right to talk to God. And if we listen to that voice, we'll stay in the pig pen, so to speak. We'll stay away from God. God just says, come unto me. And so I want to encourage you, no matter where you've been, maybe you haven't been the greatest Christian of late, and you need some help, there is some help for you. You come to God. You come to Jesus. He's not going to fault find. He's not going to criticize you. He's going to help you and bless you. And so here he says, come on me. If life has been rough, if it's been tough, and notice what he says, I'll give you rest. Isn't that beautiful? He'll give us rest. And he said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest to your souls. In verse 30, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so Jesus tells us when we come to him and we learn his ways, that we walk in his will, his plan for our life can be easy and light. Isn't that beautiful? It's not meant to be hard. Harsh. You know, religion has painted that. Man, serving God is so hard. We got to endure to the end. Be a good soldier. Just suck it up and just hold on. You know, and some fine day, when this life is over, we'll fly away. Someone ought to write a song about that. All right? Now, thank God we will fly away someday. And but it is not the will of God that life be hard to you. Life be hard and harsh, troubled, worried, full of anxiety. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Learn my ways and it will be light and easy. You know, I've done life hard and harsh, and I've done life light and easy. Light and easy is much better. And Jesus is not a liar. And he offers this life to all of us. Would you like to know a little bit more about this life? And so by the grace of God, I'm going to help you. And so concerning a visitation I had, you know, a lot of ministers come. My wife and I are known as prayer people, and, you know, we teach people how to pray. We teach our leaderships how to pray. We have prayer groups. But also ministers from all across America from time to time will come just to want to pray with us and learn about prayer and to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. You know, because of my equipment and my offices, and many times God would help them and God will give them answers as we're praying. And we were in a certain prayer meeting with a pastor. And we were praying just like you're praying. You know, we're minding our own business. We're praying about this. We're praying about that. You know, just minding our own business. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord, the audible voice of the Holy Ghost, said this: stop praying. Imagine that. The Holy Ghost interrupting our prayer meeting. He said, stop. Okay, I stopped. And then he said this: there was my wife and another pastor there who was a female. And it says, have these two ladies record and write down what you're about to say. And so I told them to stop. I stopped and I said, stop. And they're looking at me, what's going on? And I said, the Holy Ghost said to record this and write down what I'm about to say to you. And I had no idea what I was about to say to them. And if the Holy Ghost were to leave the room right there, I would go, it's a twinkle, twinkle, little star, you know. And I would be singing that song, hopefully, well, I'll fly away right now. You know, but then they got the recorders out, they got there, and the Holy Ghost said this: you can go no further in life, you can go no further in ministry unless you get these three things right in your life. And ooh. And I'm thinking, what three things? And in that prayer meeting, for about 10-15 minutes, I prophesied by the word of the Lord. And gave the 3 points and gave why these 3 points are so important. And it changed my life. It changed my perspective. It changed what I thought was needed to go further in God, to go to the next level, to receive more from heaven. And the Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than yours and above yours. And he talked about the number one thing, the most important thing that he said that you have to get this established in your life is this: personal freedom. He called it personal freedom. Then for about 10-15 minutes, he explained what he meant. And he kept referencing Matthew chapter 11 about light and easy, about learning to live life light and easy, not to be troubled, not to be worried, not to have anxiety, not to be oppressed, but learning to walk in the victory that's been provided for you and to enjoy your life, to walk in peace, to walk in joy every single day of your life. You know, I always thought that was optional. You know, really, I thought, well, yeah, Jesus offered it, but it's like any option, you know, a package of options. You know, if you buy a car, you can have this option, or you can choose not to have this option. And I always thought that was optional. It's a great option to have, but it doesn't really matter on your Christianity. It really doesn't matter. You know, God could still bless you more, and you can still do the will of God if you don't choose option light and easy. You know, you can just do the same thing and your life be hard and harsh and you'll still accomplish everything that God has for you. And I was wrong. And the Holy Ghost gave me chapter and verse and began to show me and give illustrations, give us illustrations. It was quite amazing. I'm not that smart to come up with such a thing. And he said this, you're going to have to teach people how to live life light and easy. Folks miss out on this. And they think that, they have to go through life hard and harsh. They have to go through tests and trials that overwhelm them and just kind of hang on and just, just in fear and trembling go through them and just trust God to get through them. But you can sail through life. Life can be light and easy. And the Holy Ghost says you're going to have to teach them that. And so, because people don't know unless they're taught. See, up to that time, I thought, well, yeah, you can go through life hard and harsh, and you can still do the will of God. But God said this, there are certain things I cannot give you. There are certain things I cannot promote you to unless you get this right in your life. Then he started picking on us ministers. He says, how many ministers want bigger churches, want more anointing, want more gifts of the Spirit? And yet they're not happy. They're not content where they are. The issues, the problems come in their local church. They're fretting. They're worrying. And God says this, how can I give them more if they're not faithful in what they have? And he made this analogy, I'm not sure what the word is. It's early in the morning after going through a snowstorm last night, coming home from Olean, taking the back roads. Woo, Jesus. But he said this, that being light and easy is being faithful to him. When you're not light and easy, that means you're not trusting him and you're not being faithful to him. I never saw that before. That I'm actually sinning if I'm worrying. I'm sinning if life is not light and easy. If when the storms of life come and I'm being tossed to and fro with them and I'm just going to cry out and say, Jesus, help me, I'm in a panic. I saw that was in God's highest meant that actually that was sin. It's not pleasing the Lord. Would you like further examples on that? All right. Do you remember the story? You know, my home church knows what this means. It's going to get hot. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, let us go to the other side. And of course, his disciples were fishermen, and they got in a boat to go to the other side. And they're halfway to, on the other side in the boat and in the sea there, and a storm came up. A bad storm, rocked and rode, and it just was bad. And disciples that were experienced fishermen were panicking, were troubled. Why were they troubled? I mean, there's a storm. They feel the wind, the waves, the boat is sinking. And they're toiling and screaming and doing their best trying to figure the problem out, trying just to get safe. And here's Jesus sleeping on a pillow. The same storm, the same test, the same boat. They're toiling and screaming. And Jesus is, sleeping. There's nothing this, you ever see a baby sleep? Nothing so peaceful as a baby sleeping. There's Jesus sleeping in the test and the storm. And here's the disciples panic. Oh, my God, we're going to die. We're going to die. And they got this idea, we better go wake Jesus up. He has no idea what's going on. And they shake Jesus. Jesus, wake up. And notice this. Very interesting, the wording. Don't you care that we're going to die? King James, carest thou not that we perish, okay? If you're a stickler for the King James. Everyday language, Jesus, don't you care, we're going to die. You notice they didn't say, Jesus, we're in a storm, wake up. No, he said, don't you care. Certainly, if you cared, we wouldn't be going through this. But also, you know what that tells us? Jesus knew there was a storm. Evidently, he saw the storm, saw them toiling, and went back to bed. They knew that that Jesus knew there was a storm. So evidently he knew about it. And then, so they woke him, "Don't you care that we perish?" And so Jesus gets up, and if you know the story, he said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible says there was a great calm. And Jesus had a little message for his disciples. Going through this test, the storm. Because when the storm hit, they're frantic. They were asking for a million people to pray. "Oh my God, I'm going through this. What are we going to do? Oh God, let's Google this. What do you think we ought to be?" They're just all over the place. They were tossed to and fro in the storm. And Jesus has a message for them. And you know what he said? He said, "Now, disciples, it's a good thing I was in your boat. It's a good thing that I went to Divinity School. There's certain things only me, God the Father, and the Holy Ghost can do, and maybe a few select angels. But this is way beyond your pay grade. Do not try this at home." He didn't say that if you know the Bible. He said, "Guys, what's wrong with you? Why are you so afraid?" Notice, he wasn't particularly happy with his disciples when the storms of life got in them. When they're tossed, when they weren't enjoying the ride. He was enjoying the ride. Regardless of what was happening on the outside, he was enjoying the ride. He fully expected them to do the same. And brothers and sisters, he wants and bids us all to come and learn of him and enjoy the same thing. See, you have a choice in life. You notice Jesus was not at peace because there was no storm. He was at peace regardless of what was happening. The storms didn't dictate whether he had peace or not. No matter what was going on, he had peace. He had rest. It was light and easy for him. He was yawning, enjoying the ride. And yet the disciples were panicking. And brothers and sisters, we have a choice to make this morning. Jesus didn't need that storm to stop before there was peace in his life. He had peace here. He had to get peace on the outside of the disciples because they didn't learn how to walk in the light and easy. See, God's never promised us an absence of storms, tests, and trials. Have you figured that one out? Have you ever had a test? Has your boat ever rocked? Have you ever, like the disciples, "Lord, save me, we're going to sink, oh my God." And we're tossed to and fro. Now, thank God we can call out to the Lord if we're a baby Christian. And the Lord will save us. But that's not his highest and best. See, you can choose to live life like that, like disciples. And in every test and trial, I mean, you go through the emotional up and down. Oh, you're fretting, you're fearful, and you're worried. Or you can come up to the Master and learn his ways. And be light and easy no matter what is going on. Jesus fully expected disciples to enjoy the ride. And Jesus wants us to enjoy our ride. I'm not saying there won't be days of tests and trials, but you can live a life where it doesn't affect you. That when tests and trials come, that you actually have more joy and more peace going through it. See, this is what Jesus is bidding all of us, is to come and learn of him. Would you like to learn how to do that this morning? And so, how much time do I have here? This morning, okay, turn with me to the book of Philippians. And while you're turning to Philippians, how many ever heard of Psalm 23? I mean, you don't even need to be a Christian. Even lost folks know Psalm 23. They have it on a little picture, a frame on the wall. "What, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It means lack. Isn't that wonderful? The first thing God says, "I'll take good care of you. You'll not lack for any good thing." And I like this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Now that's important. Because the Lord will always lead you into peace. He always will lead you into quietness. He always will lead you into joy, refreshing. You know, and we can quote that, you know, and the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down, green pastures, and still waters. He restores my soul. That's a beautiful thing. If you've experienced hardness and hardship and sorrow, Jesus said, come to me, and I'll restore your soul. He leads me in path of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, and a lot of times we just kind of stop there. Notice what the next verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But Jesus, I thought you were my shepherd. I thought you were going to lead me beside the water. No, there's times when we have to go through things. Notice it says, through the valley of the shadow of death. Not to stay there, just through it. He's going to get through it. He said, I will fear no evil. Have you ever had tests and trials that made you afraid?
Sure.
Yeah. Jesus said, there's a better way. That you do not fear. It's light and easy. The Bible says fear has torment. Torment's not light and easy. So he wants us to learn his ways. When we go through things, we don't fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Now there's another interesting verse. And I'm just saying all this until you all find Philippians chapter 4. I mean, there might be one or two that haven't found it yet, so that's why I'm rambling on. It says this, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This is what Jesus says, come and learn my ways. What we want the Lord to do is like what Jesus had to do for his disciples. Jesus had to make the storm stop and the sea be at peace before the disciples were at peace. And most Christians live that way. They're always asking God, oh God, this test, remove it from me. Remove it. Oh God, help me. And they're fretting, they're panicking, they're not enjoying the ride until the smoke settles, the storm clears. But Jesus said, come to me, learn my ways. Jesus didn't need the storm to stop for him to have peace. And it says this, that he prepares a table before us, feasting in the presence of our enemies. You know what that means? When the storm is raging, we're not afraid. When Satan comes to huff and puff and blow our house down, we're happy. We're at peace. We're joy. When it's downpouring and the storms of life come, we're singing in the rain. Someone ought to write a song about that. See, Jesus, learn of me. Too many times we've been like disciples. God, change that. Change that. Change that, change that. Then I can have peace. Oh, it's gone. Oh, thank God, finally got through it. Jesus wants you to have peace through it. Jesus wants you to puff up your pillow in the worst test of your life, and you smile and you sing and you're laughing, and it's just like the storm never hits you. Have you found Philippians chapter 4 yet? No, there's someone that hasn't. I was raised on a farm. And we raise two types of fowl on our farm. We raise chickens and we raise ducks. You know, on a beautiful sunny day and the bugs are all over, the sun is shining, you know, those chicken ducks are both happy. You know, the chickens are clucking and the ducks are clacking and, you know, the chickens are happy and so forth. But then the storm comes. The clouds, and it starts to downpour. All of a sudden, you see a difference of the fowl. The chickens that were happy just 10 minutes ago, when it began to rain, they begin to run frantically, and they're going everywhere. Ah, shelter, shelter, help me, shelter, shelter, help me, help me. They're miserable. Have you ever seen a wet chicken? They're the most ugliest thing next to a wet cat. Sad. Miserable. Because of the storm. Too many Christians are chickens. They go bad with the storm. But we had ducks. They were happy before the storm. But when the rain comes, they got extra happy. They'd look up and they feel the rain and they start this little dance up and down. And they started waving their heads. And they start quacking around, and they're out in the middle of the field. Woo, it's raining. Glory to God, it's raining. And the chickens are, help me, help me, help me. And the ducks are singing in the rain. See, God wants us to graduate from being like disciples, being chickens, be more like Jesus, being like a duck. And every test and trial. Jesus said, come unto me and learn of me. So I believe now everyone found Philippians chapter 4. So much of what God can do for us will be dependent on how much we learn to walk in light and easy. And in Philippians 4, we see the keys of how to enjoy your life. How every day to have total victory. Every day, no matter what comes, no matter what the weather is, no matter what the storm is, no matter what the reports of life are, that you're constant, that you can actually be happier when the storm comes, like those ducks. Would you like to learn how?
Yes.
Well, the Bible tells us. In Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice this, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Jesus said this. Remember, Jesus had peace in the boat, in the storm. That passes understanding. Disciples had the peace of the world, that when the water's calm, the fish are biting, and everyone's good to us, then we're happy. But if someone looks at us the wrong way, someone doesn't shake our hand, the bills come, I don't feel well, the Buffalo Bills lose today to the Jets, whatever. I'm not prophesying that. I'm with Miss Julie. My life, I have victory regardless if they win, lose, or if they no longer play forever. All right? Jesus wants us to be constant. And he gave us the peace that no matter what's going on, we have complete victory every day. Every day is light and easy. And in these verses, he gives us three things that will guarantee nothing but light and easy every single day of your life. Now, as you can see, I got to start to fix the clothes. I even got, this is my introduction. And it's usually like a 4 or 5 week series. But we're just going to cover one of them just a little bit. If you just do the first thing I tell you, well, the Bible tells you, you're going to be a duck. You're going to be a duck, and you're going to be quacking. Not clucking, quacking. Woo-wee! And your coworkers, your family, what's wrong with you? You're so happy, you should be crying. And you're going to just be able to share the goodness of God. And they're going to want what you want. Now, there's three things in these verses, three absolutes, in order to have light and easy. Number one, it says this verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. That means always rejoicing. Remember, James says, count it all joy when you fall in diverse tests and trials. Remember, the ducks,
joy, 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 joy. The second, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Didn't say it was joy, you counted joy. Counted joy. Number two, be careful for nothing. Never worry about a thing. And you can get to a place where nothing worries you. It's a beautiful place. And again, that's another message. See, what I do is whenever I'm asked to speak, I only give introductions. That way the people beg, have them back. Have them back. We need the rest of this message. I'll just see if that works. And the third thing, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Giving thanks always. Always for all things. This is the will of God concerning you. If you will rejoice always, refuse to be worried, concerned about anything. And three, give thanks always. Life will be so easy. Now again, each one of these is a sermon, but I must tell you the first one. If you can do the first one, you're gonna set your course for complete victory in life. It says to rejoice in the Lord always. And I like this, and again, I say rejoice. Because if we say rejoice in the Lord always, people say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's happened to me. You haven't seen my checkbook. You haven't seen my husband. He's crazy. You haven't seen my children. Any more crazier than my husband is. My work, it's this. And that's why he said, again, I say rejoice. Notice three absolutes. Always rejoice. Careful for nothing. Everything, give thanks. All the time, no matter what's going on. That means in the boat, when it's being rocked. That means when the storms of life come, like the ducks, you always rejoice. Why is that? Well, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Tests and trials will drain you, but rejoicing and being glad will strengthen you. Also this, and this is something the Lord showed me, the importance of light and easy, that many times we're like disciples and we pray scared prayers. See, God doesn't answer scared prayers. He'll rescue in His great mercy, but He doesn't answer scared prayers. Notice the disciples could not deal with the storm because they weren't living light and easy. They weren't at peace and joy. The only reason Jesus could stand up and say, peace be still, because He was in a place of peace. And see, that's why it's so important that we walk in this. Have you ever tried to use the name of Jesus in fear and found out it didn't work? Because you have to be in a place of light and easy for it to work. Then he began, you know, with this, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. And guess what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. See, so many times we're praying for desires as we're screaming in the boat, oh my God, help me, help me. No, you delight. You be like those ducks. Woo-hoo, glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad. And God says, you do that, I'll give you the desires of your heart. See, not only are you benefited to keep the cares and the weights off of you, the God begins to move in your behalf. Remember in Acts chapter 16 that Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, beaten and whipped. And so at midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. They rejoiced in the Lord. So a lot of people pray, oh God, deliver me. Oh God, it's so hard. Oh God, oh God, oh God. That's chicken prayers. You know what duck prayer is? This is the day. This is the day. And they begin to praise God and the prisoners heard them. And what happened? They begin to delight themselves in the Lord. And God gave them desires of heart. That the prison shook and everyone's bands were loosed. See, there's a lot of bands on Christians. Things holding them, addictions, You know, they don't know why they do the things they do that hold them down. I don't know why I'm down. I don't know why I'm oppressed. And they're chained in prison, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and they pray, and the chains are still there. Because they're not praying in the place of faith. They're praying in the place of panic. Desperate like disciples were. But they begin to praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise. They begin to delight themselves in the Lord. And all of a sudden, God got involved. And not only shook them and unloosed their bands, but everyone in the prison all of a sudden was loosed. See, you delighting in the Lord and walking in the light needs not only affects you, it affects your family. It affects your workplace. It affects when you go to Super Duper or Walmart, wherever you shop. You bring God with you. And you have this shining light on your face. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had a cloud over you, oppressed because of the storms of life? Oh, yeah. Disappointments. Crazy people in your life making wrong decisions. I mean, that plays on you. You gave me a note. I'm hitting everything you asked me to speak on. Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, I was just making sure. Yeah. We've all been there. Something happens and you know, you were fine, then all of a sudden your head is where your feet was a moment ago, just slipped underneath you, and you're overwhelmed. We've all been there. If you'll learn to rejoice and be glad and begin to praise the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, you can take that weight and fling it off of you and never be down a single day in your life. The book of Isaiah says he gives us the oil of joy, the oil of gladness for heaviness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I've done this so many times I can't count. When that spirit of heaviness came. I mean, you know, that's not light and easy. That's an oppressive yoke. But when I rejoiced in the Lord and began to praise Him and thank Him and to worship Him, you know, you have to start off in faith. You won't feel like it. But you keep going on and on. The joy of the Lord will be strength. You do it until the chains break off. You do it until the prison shakes and those doors are open. Many Christians say, I want that to be fixed before I'll praise the Lord. I want that to be fixed before I go to church. I want that to be fixed before I look to the Lord. No, you begin to rejoice and delight in the Lord when you're in the midst of the storm. And when you do, just like an eagle, when he faces a storm, a weather front, he goes right in towards it. And that very storm lifts them above the storms. That's our lot. How do you do it? By praise and worship. All right. I'm going to give me 5 more minutes. 5, 10, 15. The rest of you can go. But wait until the offering. All right. I've done this so many times. I used to, as a young man, I used to drive to Tulsa, Oklahoma, straight through to go to Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. And I would drive it, you know, and it's a 20-hour drive. And, you know, when you're young, you like doing that stuff. And then, you sleep in, you know, on the floor and couches and stuff like that. And so I decided after hearing Kenneth Hagin preach, you know what, I'm going to believe God. And next year I'm going to fly an airplane. I'm going to buy an airplane ticket. And I'm going to rent a car. And I believe that even this time, have a hotel room. I mean, that's a big step from driving and just staying with people. And you know what? Next year came. I bought a plane ticket. I reserved to rent a car. And I believe I also had a hotel room lined up for me. Or I might be with someone else that's immaterial. But here, I was a faith man. I believe. The money came. I am flying now, no more driving. I'm not going to drive another day in my life. I'm going to get a rent-a-car. And I had a cape on. I had a big F on my chest. Big F. Faith man. And so I go into the Buffalo Airport with my cape just blowing in the breeze. Strutting like a champion. I am faith man. And I get checked in and I fly from Buffalo to Tulsa, Oklahoma. In just a matter of hours, which used to take 20 hours. And of course, when I get off that plane, I just figured there's people waiting with trumpets because faith man has arrived. And I walk down confidently off the jetway into the airplane terminal. Faith man, my cape blowing in the breeze. Yes, I'm a man of God. Yes, I believe it all came to pass. And so, number one, taken care of. Number two, the rent-a-car. I go into the rent-a-car center. I walk up with my faith strut. I says, I believe you have a reservation for Michael Laketic there, like John Wayne. It says, yes, we do. Yeah, we have this reserved. It was car I reserved. And they had quoted me a price of $150 a week. And then I had that money reserved. Then I had money to eat and money to give. I mean, I am on top of the world. And so here, this is, we have your car and you have this rate. And it says, that's going to be $300 and some. I says, oh, excuse me. You quoted 150. It's only 150. Yes. That's the price, but you're under 25, and because you're under 25, you have to have all the insurance, you have to do all these things, and it's more than double the price they quoted me. Now, don't judge me. My cape fell off. That big F for faith is now a big F for failure, and I'm thinking, oh my God, there goes my eating money. There goes all my offering money. How can this happen to me? This is not right. What's wrong? This is wrong. And I was on top of the world, and then I was on the bottom of the world because of bad news. Have you ever been like that? All right. You may judge me and say, you're just so silly. But may this illustration help you the next time your cape flies off. And so they give me the rent-a-car, and thank God they took a credit card. They wouldn't take cash, and so at least I can use my cash to eat. I'm just thinking, oh, all that money. I'm going in debt in this trip. And I'm driving my car, and just woe is me. A cloud is on me. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And when I'm having this pity party, my engine light comes on. Oh, and I'm like, why did this always happen to me? I was doing so good. Why? I would believe in God. You know, just naturally. Cloud, feeling sad for myself. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you can never get lost because all the streets are 1 mile apart. 11th Street is 1 mile from the airport. 21st Street is 1 mile from 11th. And so 11th, 21st, 31st, 41st is a mile away. So I have 7 miles to go to my place that I'm staying. And, you know, the 11th Street, 21st Street, I'm just down living in a cloud. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be the worst campaign ever. The engine light is on. And I call him, said, well, you have to bring it back. Well, I'm going to drop my stuff off. Yeah, I can do this. I don't know why this happened to me, Jesus. Then when I get to 31st Street, I realize, you know, I did go to the faith school. You know, the Bible is true. And here I am. I'm like the disciples. My boat just got rocked. The wind, I'm sinking financially, and I'm panicking. I'm acting like a disciple. I'm acting like a chicken. I says, I know better than this. So at 31st Street, at the stop sign, at the stop traffic light, I says, I know that my answer is joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, it's a cure to the oppression and being downcast. So I begin to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I had that much spirit to it. You know, when you feel like crying, you don't feel like praising. Now, you may judge me. What's $150 back then? That's equivalent to $2,000 or $3,000 today. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so up to 41st Street, I don't feel any better, but I'm going to praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. God, you're so good to me. You're so good to me, God. Yeah. But I kept it up. The Bible says he gives you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when I got to 51st Street, that which was laborious and hard actually become easier. I began to have a little quack like a duck. And by 51st Street, hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. You're so faithful to me, God. Oh, you're so good. You're so good. Then when I got up to 61st Street, woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I believe I was jumping up and down in my car. Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made. And you know, when you stop at the stoplight and people, you know, there's several lanes, they're looking at you, tapping. Are you okay? Quack, 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 quack. I was happier and had more joy than the tests, before the tests. I have it more when I'm right in the midst of this. And then I go back and they say, well, we're so sorry for the inconvenience you had to drive by. They gave me the best car on the lot with all the bells and whistles that you really need to go to school to figure out what all the buttons were. Here I am, you know, just, you know, a 21-year-old man driving this extreme sports car. See, brothers and sisters, any test you can overcome with joy. Well, I need a miracle. Joy will overcome it. Would you give me five more minutes? All right. Again, this is only the first thing. The pastor I served, David Alessi, I served him, and he told me the story. This was before I came on board. He had two children. Oldest one was he had a girl. Then his son was born. How many know when you have a child, it ought to be great joy, yes. An exciting time here. Something you've been anticipating for 9-10 months. And even the Bible says when a baby's born, all the sorrow of travail goes away. There's joy at the birth of a child. It ought to be for every parent. Once you've had children, you know, oh, a child. The thing you don't want to hear is when that child is born, a doctor saying there's something wrong with your child. And he got that report. And you can imagine the devastation, the sorrow to hear that, especially a parent. And they don't know, but it's quite serious. And the doctor says, your blood, you cannot take your child home. Your child's going to need a blood transfusion. We're going to need to do this test, and you know, it's serious. And he said, Reverend, you better go home. There's nothing you can do. And so going from the hospital to his home, how many know that weighs on you? The cloud, the thoughts that raise, that's not lightness. That's hard, harsh, and cruel. And you're thinking the scenarios of what will come. And he's there just under cloud of oppression. His son needs a miracle in the hospital room. And something on the inside of him told him to go play and sing at the piano. You know, he's never told me to play and sing at the piano because I don't know how to play. And so he didn't feel like it, but he went to the piano. I guess this is what you do. I don't know. Yeah, didn't feel like, he felt like crying and began to play. Didn't feel like singing, so he started to play. And of course, when he started to play, he began to praise the Lord in song. Didn't feel like he felt like crying, and just began to worship God. And this went on for, what, 5, 10, 15 minutes. Didn't feel like it. Then about after 15 minutes, the Bible says, "It giveth us garments, pray for the spirit of heaviness." There's anointing that comes. There's joy and strength that comes with rejoicing and worship. And you start to feel it. And he began to praise the Lord. He began to delight himself in the Lord. "I worship you. I praise you." In the midst of the worst storm in his life, the life of his child, he begins to praise and worship God. And all of a sudden, he got caught up in delighting himself in the Lord. He forgot about the problem and just got lost in worship. And he was beside himself and began to sing and beller. He was acting like a duck. And then, you know, he would get up and he would dance and just and get back and he would dance and just delight himself in the Lord, forgetting about the problem. And you know what happened? The hospital calls. He says, "Reverend, we don't understand it, but your child's perfectly well. You can come take your child home." Coincidence? I don't think so. You delight in yourself in the Lord, give you a desire of heart. Any test, any trial, any time the devil comes to huff and puff and blow your house down, you just go like this. I could tell you stories and stories, but I want you to tell your pastor you want me back, because I've been to hell and back. This works. At the greatest tests and trials and being overwhelmed in life, I just praised my way out of it. And after I prayed, I felt better during the test than before the test. That is light and easy. You don't need to be oppressed a single day of your life. Don't wait for the storm to be over. Sing and dance in the rain. When you feel like crying, begin to praise God. Allow that anointing to come in. Saturate your life and make you light and easy. And as you delight in the Lord will take care of that storm that's in your life. Let us pray. Father, we're just so grateful and thankful that we can fellowship around the Word. Thank you for these wonderful, precious people. And Lord, your Word is truth. Father, this is not like Bugs Bunny would dangle a carrot in front of a horse, trying to get that horse to be motivated, mule, or that mule motivated, but never eat that carrot. Father, we're not dangling things that is impossible. These things are possible. This is how we learn of you to be light and easy. Now, Father, I just thank you. If there's any of these precious people going through a test trial, I pray for the strength, the grace to begin to act on the Word, begin to praise you. And Father, I know that you'll do miracles for them. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just a guest speaker here this morning. And the pastor will be here next week, so I don't know everybody. But the greatest thing, the most important thing in life, the first step to enjoy a wonderful life is to come unto the Lord. Jesus said, "Come unto me." Before you can learn his ways, you have to come to him. And that's what Jesus calls being born again. Or people call it being saved or getting religion. I like to keep it the way Jesus said. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. Now, why do we need to be born again? Jesus said we had to. We'll not get into heaven. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we've just sinned once in our life, that sin will keep us out of heaven. We've all done it, if we're honest. We all have done it. And there's no natural remedy for sin. Going to church, being nice, cannot eradicate sin. Sin's a real thing. Only the blood of God can wash away sins. That's why Jesus had to come and shed his blood. And Jesus is the antidote for our sins. You can be a good moral person, immoral. It doesn't matter. We all need a Savior. And if there's anyone here, you've never been born again, never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'd like to come to him this morning, may I have the privilege and the honor to lead you to Jesus. And again, we're not going to embarrass you. But if you're here and you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you'd like to receive him, would you raise your hand? Anybody here? Anybody? Again, I don't know everybody, everyone couldn't be born again, but I just want to make sure. Because there's a heaven to gain, hell to shun. The Bible says, what is your life? It's a vapor of smoke. It's here one day and out the next. Very often, folks have come to church and they knew they should be saved, but they didn't respond, and the devil killed them later that week. Again, not to be feared, but it's a real life. There's nothing so great as light and easy knowing that you're serving the Lord, walking with the Lord, and you know if you pass from this life in your loving arms of Jesus. So real quick, is anybody here, you've never been born again? I see the hand. God bless you. You can put it down. For those of you watching online, I can't see your hand, but go ahead and raise your hand. God will see your hand. See, God loves you. I'm going to give one more invitation. I make mention about the prodigal son in the Bible. How the prodigal son, even though we can say this way, he was a Christian, he was born again, but you, like the prodigal son, went out in the world, you did things that you know you shouldn't, you've been in crowds you shouldn't. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. The most important thing is like that prodigal son, to come to your senses, you know what? I need to come back home. I'm missing out of all God's blessings in my life by being out in the world. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. And if that's you, would you raise your hand? Again, we're not going to embarrass anybody. Anybody here, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For those of you that are watching online, go ahead and raise your hand. Right here, we're a church family. And this is the most important thing that anyone can do. We had a hand raised here this morning. And maybe there's someone else that for some reason didn't raise your hand. You know you should. God's a good God. You can still get in on our prayer. So if you, whether you raise your hand, you shouldn't raise, you didn't raise your hand, you know you should. Pray this prayer with us. Let your heart agree with it. Be sincere before God. And God's going to hear your prayer. Your life is going to be changed. So let's pray this together as a church with those that raised their hands or should have raised their hands. Dear God,
I believe
that Jesus
is your son.
He died for me and rose again from the dead so I can be saved. This morning, right now, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. I'm now your child. And my life will never, ever be the same again after this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you raised your hand, we want to just congratulate you. Whether you're here watching online, know this, God has heard your prayer. No matter what you've done, where you've been, God has restored you. God treats like you're just like Jesus. You're perfect in every way. That's how thoroughly God cleans us from all unrighteousness. Don't let Satan try to convince you, well, maybe God didn't hear. God heard your prayer. Your life has changed. And if you're watching online, you don't have a church family right here with Pastor Mike Anderson. It's a wonderful church. There's other family churches in the region. If you're beyond that, that's why we have live stream. If you prayed that prayer online, go ahead and contact us. Let us know that you made a decision for Christ. We want to help you get started in this awesome life of serving Jesus. It's light and easy. It's a joy. Well, thank you so much for putting up with me. I just trust that you were helped. If you will just learn to rejoice and be glad and allow that anointing hit you, it doesn't matter. You will become a duck and not a chicken. Now, kids, listen up. How many of you like Winnie the Pooh? You know who Winnie the Pooh is, or don't you know who Winnie the Pooh is? Kids, all right. All right, this is for you kids. You remember Eeyore? Thanks for noticing me. Life is so hard and rough. This always happens to me. Christians ought not to be an Eeyore. You know what Christians ought to be? Is a Tigger. Wonderful thing about Tiggers. What Tiggers can do? They pouncy, 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 pouncy. Go out and be a Tigger. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Julie. Thank you for putting up with me. Trust you were blessed.
Wow, Pastor Michael, thank you so, so much. We're just so grateful that you're here, thankful for that word and our help. And Well, what we're going to do now is take up a special offering for Pastor Michael. And there's always a way to respond when we hear the words. And the Word of God, the Bible, tells us what to do. And so we're going to look to the Word for instruction as to how we should respond. So if we could pull up Galatians 6:6 in the Amplified. And it says, "Let him who receives instruction in the Word share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support." And another translation says, "Material support." Like, we're gonna give to Pastor Michael in response to the Word, and we're just so grateful that he was here. So you can make your checks payable to Family Church, and then the church will collect the offering and give one offering to Pastor Michael. So if you all want to just lift up your offering, we'll pray over it. Father, we thank you for this visitation. We thank you for the gift that Pastor Michael is in our life and in this ministry. We thank you for the lessons that we learned through your Word, and now we know how to respond when the storms come. We walk out of this place forever changed. Thank you that we have the opportunity to sow into a man that just sowed into us. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to remind you that Pastor Mike will be with us next week. We are very excited to have him back. And on the behalf of Pastor Mike, we just want to thank Pastor Michael once again. Thank you so much for being here and sowing into this church and to this church family. We appreciate you. And I would like to welcome you to just stand to your feet, and we are going to worship before we dismiss. Father, we thank you. We won't stand here quiet, but we will praise you. Thank you for this visitation. Thank you for your Word, and thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed.